From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. In his final national security speech Tuesday, President Barack Obama called U.S. military personnel at MacDill Air Force Base in Florida that no foreign terrorist organization has successfully planned or executed an attack on U.S. homeland during his time in office. Discussing his administration's eight-year record, Mr. Obama said al-Qaeda has been all but defeated.
Today, by any measure, core al-Qaeda, the organization that hit us on 9/11, is a shadow of its former self.
He also insisted Islamic State is on the run.
ISIL has lost more than half its territory. ISIL has lost control of major population centers. Its morale is plummeting. Its recruitment is drying up. Its commanders and external plotters are being taken out, and local populations are turning against it.
But Mr. Obama, who leaves office in just 6 weeks, said the U.S. will not be able to destroy terrorism with military might alone. He called for the pursuit of a smart strategy that focuses on coalition building and upholds U.S. values and the rule of law. He denounced the use of torture, warned that terrorism will remain a threat for years to come. A purported senior commander of the renegade Lord's Resistance Army pleaded not guilty Tuesday to dozens of crimes against humanity, including murder, rape, forced marriage, and recruiting child soldiers. Chief Prosecutor Fatou Bensouda pressed her case against Dominic Ongwen.
These were innocent people who had no interest in the violent conflict which was taking place in northern Uganda. Some were brutally tortured in various cruel ways. Hundreds of them were abducted and forced to carry away the goods which had been pillaged.
Bensouda described Ongwen, himself a child soldier who rose swiftly through the ranks because of his reputation as a ruthless killer. This is VOA News. Syrian and allied forces have reportedly penetrated deeper into rebel-held Aleppo. The rebels are believed to have lost up to three-quarters of their territory in the embattled city over the past 2 weeks. Monday, Russia and China vetoed a UN Security Council resolution that would have imposed a week-long ceasefire to allow humanitarian aid to reach tens of thousands of trapped civilians. Meanwhile, the U.S. and Moscow are at odds over talks to be held in Geneva that Russia said will focus on the withdrawal of rebel forces. Iraqi army units Tuesday surged towards the center of the Islamic State-occupied city of Mosul in an offensive begun 7 weeks ago. One commander said his forces entered Al-Salam Hospital near the Tigris River. Fighting is reported as heavy. The Iraqis, backed by airstrikes, face improvised explosive devices, snipers, and suicide attacks. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, at a farewell tour of Europe Tuesday, reaffirmed the U.S. commitment to NATO, the alliance that President-elect Donald Trump has criticized for lacking the necessary funding of its own defense, and prepares to take office next month.
And I'm quite confident that they will remain committed to the fundamental core components of the transatlantic alliance and America's partnership with NATO and with the EU. I have no doubt about that. Now, whether there's a twist about pressure on funding or how they begin to engage, that's going to be their choice, and I'm not going to second guess it now in a blank.
The European Union's foreign policy chief joined NATO foreign ministers in endorsing more than 40 proposals to boost cooperation on matters such as cybersecurity, sea operations, and helping neighboring countries defend themselves. The UN Atomic Energy Agency Tuesday said Iran shipped 11 tons of heavy water abroad, bringing its stock under a limit set by an international nuclear agreement reached last year. The International Atomic Energy Agency warned last month Tehran's stock of heavy water exceeded a limit of 130 tons. Wednesday marks the 75th anniversary of the surprise Japanese attack on U.S. naval and air forces at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, prompting U.S. entry into World War II. The December 7, 1941 attack killed hundreds of U.S. military personnel, sank or damaged many capital ships. Monday, Japan's Prime Minister Abe announced he'll visit Pearl Harbor, the first Japanese leader to do so. Wall Street edged higher again Tuesday, with the benchmark Dow Jones average gaining another 22 points to close at 19,238. Shares have climbed 15% since the November 8 election of President-elect Trump. U.S. worker productivity advanced in the third quarter at a 3.1% rate after three quarters of decline, and factory orders jumped at the biggest level in 16 months in October. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.